Jesse, you must listen to WOAY 90.9 FM on the end. Don't touch that dial. Jesse, keep it locked.
Would you be mine?
Could you be mine?
Won't you be my neighbor?
My neighbor?
Mr. Rogers passed along friendship, hoping we would too. Friendship. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here are some upcoming events to look forward to. On Monday, February 2nd, Black History Month film series kicks off at 6 p.m. in the Sergi Lee Hall with a film viewing and discussion. Check out Randy Shine Real Magic for Real People at 9 p.m. in Hunt Union Waterfront. On Tuesday, February 3rd, head to Club Expo from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. in Dewar Arena at Alumni Fieldhouse. Check out Trivia Tuesday at 9 p.m. in Red Dragon Theater in Hunt Union. On Wednesday, February 4th, check out Black History Month kickoff lecture with guest speaker Pierce Freeland at 7 p.m. in Hunt Union Ballroom. On Thursday, February 5th, check out the Art Gallery reception at 5 p.m. in Fine Arts with two new exhibitions in the Martin Muller Gallery and the Project Space Gallery. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. More information about these events and more can be found on Campus Connection. Have a great week. Keep it locked.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Nas from Mark II coming in hot. What's in your pocket? Episode 81. We got a guest on this morning. I'm going to wait to introduce him when he gets here. He's running a teeny bit late, but I'm going to start this thing off. How are we all doing today? It's, what is it, Wednesday? Hump day? Yeah, baby, we love the hump day. You know, it's been like 1 degree or something like that for days. And yesterday afternoon, it got to like 22 or something like that. Maybe mid-20s. I don't know. It felt like summer. It was awesome. I was like outside in a pair of shorts for like 10 minutes. But we rocking today on hump day, 8:03. Going to play some Peaches of Herb. Some Shake Your Groove thing to get you going in the morning before the guest shows up. Rocking and rolling, everybody. WONY 90.9 FM. Keeping it locked. Home of Red Dragon Radio.
There's nothing more that I like to do. You take the floor and dance with you. We'll be right back.
Too close.
All right. No, you're good, man. We can hear you loud and clear right now. Anyways, how are we doing? I'm just going to stop the sound for a second. Playing a 45. Peaches and Herb, Shake Your Groove thing. It's such a good song. Yeah, we're here this morning. Wony 9.9 FM, What's in Your Pocket with DJ Nas from Mark II coming in here at Hot with Cam Hayes. Oniana legend. And we're going to talk to him about all kinds of awesome stuff. So how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Every morning is a Monday, as I say. So let's talk a little bit about from when you were born, right? Quick crash course. And you don't have to get into complete details because we'll kind of go through and talk about all the little individual things after. But born till today, where have you been? Where have you been, Cam?
All right. So my name is Cam. My family is originally from Oneonta to New York. My mom hails from Oneonta. Her sister lived in Las Vegas, New York. When she was graduating high school, she went out there and met my dad. I was born in Las Vegas. What happens to Vegas doesn't always stay in Vegas.
Yep.
I lived in Vegas for about 2 years, came back to Oneonta. My mom needed help. Grew up as a single mother. I lived in Oneonta for the majority of my elementary and middle school days, back and forth between Unitigo and Oneonta. And then I went off to college in Brockport.
Where'd you go to elementary school?
Either Greater Plains or Unadilla School before it was closed.
Oh, okay, cool. Greater Plains. That's where my I taught there for a year in 1997.
I'm not sure I would have been there, but
yeah, that was the year I was in the music teacher there for one full year.
Nice,
awesome. Okay, so then you go to Brockport, right?
Yep.
What do you do there?
Well, sorry, before that, okay. So I'm also from Oneonta. I was a high school dropout in Oneonta. I dropped out twice, actually. Then I had to go take non-matriculated classes. I went to Cobleskill. Then I transferred to Brockport.
Okay.
I shouldn't skip that.
Yeah, you're moving around.
Yeah. I did what I had to do.
Yeah, right?
So
then you go to Brockport.
Yep.
City Brockport. And what did you study when you were at Brockport?
So I predominantly went to Brockport just because I knew that was a school that I could play football at. But while I was at Cobleskill, I discovered a passion for health and fitness, and I took an adult aging and development class, and it really helped me focus on the body throughout the lifespan and things, and it made me have a broader scope of what it's like when you're, 50, 60, 70. And I really thought about having a life filled with fitness because I feel like ultimately, exercise and different things are the best way to sustain your longevity.
Yeah, right. You got one vessel. When it's gone, it's gone. So interesting. So football. So okay, you played football probably in high school then, right?
Yep.
Like through your whole life, Pop Warner, Pee Wee, whatever those are. So what positions?
So just going back off to sports. Growing up, my life was very dysfunctional. So, like I said, I grew up in a single mother household. I loved sports, but oftentimes it was a very major barrier for me to get involved in sports. So that's why I try my best to give back to community sports, and we'll get back into that. But
yep.
I played a lot of backyard football with a lot of older kids because I grew up a bigger kid. So I, from the time I was 9 or 10, I was hanging out with 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds.
Sure.
So I had gotten roughed up and bullied and became pretty tough. But I had very little experience. I played maybe 1 year of Pee Wee football, and I probably only went to one game. My first game when I was in seventh or eighth grade. My first three games when I was in modified, my first year of actually playing real organized football.
Yep.
I scored a touchdown every game.
Awesome.
And then progressively I transitioned to a running back. So I started out as a tight end. Then
okay.
I went to running back when I was in 10th grade. Did pretty good. Got put on the varsity team. Midway through the season when Unitigo went to the Dome, Carrier
oh,
Dome.
Oh, amazing.
Yep. Then I transferred back into, right after that season, I kind of got in trouble. I got into a car accident, was hanging out with bad kids. Not really bad kids, but my mom's boyfriend at the time thought they were people I shouldn't be around.
Sure.
So I had a falling out with that. There was a lot of domestic violence. So at that last point from years between, fourth grade I'm in Oneonta, fifth grade I'm in Unitigo, sixth grade I'm in Oneonta, seventh grade I'm in Unitigo. Finally, in 10th grade, I had enough wisdom or just not wisdom wouldn't be the word. I just had enough courage to leave the environment. because I knew that it was bad for me. So I just bucked up and I said, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore. So I technically ran away from my house and I had to live with friends for probably about 3 months. So then I came back to Oneonta, lived with my grandma. And that's when I think I was in the middle of 10th grade. It had been right before Christmas in 10th grade. And then I have been in Oneonta ever since.
Oh, but, okay. So did you play for Oneonta High in 11th and 12th?
I played for Oneonta in 11th grade. 11th and I was grade. Pretty good. I got some clippings from the Daily Star. I was ranked
nice.
10th in receiving yards for the first part of the season. But when you get to the middle of the season, I'd be academically ineligible because I'd have problems with going to school or doing my homework.
Yep.
So, you know, growing up, I knew that I was smart enough to do it, but I was just behind and I had a lot of things going on in my own personal environment that made me hard to, you know, stay focused on school. I thought, you know, skin through the day was the priority back then.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. My son plays basketball and football, and I see kids on the teams now that if they are failing more than two classes or something like that, I think it's two or three, they take them off of they're not eligible to play. And although I understand why they're doing it, sometimes it irks me a little bit because it's their one outlet, you know, that they really enjoy that actually gets them there. You know, and a lot of times you take that away and it doesn't help out the other things. Sometimes it can. It can motivate people to do a little bit better, but sometimes it just crashes somebody's life, you know?
Yep.
You get it.
Yeah, I absolutely get it. Luckily enough, I really needed to have that motivating factor because if it wasn't for,
yeah,
you know, that consequence, then I maybe would have never tried. And then maybe I wouldn't be as educated, so.
Yeah, I think taking everybody on an individual basis is really important, too, and not just have these blanket kind of things going on sometimes with students. But, you know, well, this is good. So, you know, you do okay there, and then you go to Brockport, right? And what happens after Brockport?
So after my last year at Brockport, I was coaching there. I had football. While I was doing my finals, I played in a recreational league every summer in Oneonta. A local guy ran it. And when I was getting ready to study for my finals, I noticed he posted online that he was no longer going to run the basketball league. So my first, within the first minute, I was like, okay, I'm going to run the league. Like I had no idea of anything how to run the league, but I knew that I was going to do it.
Sure.
So
that's awesome.
I contacted some people that played in the league. I instantly started business planning. This is actually a great time because prior to the basketball leagues, I tried to have a business at Tino's. Blendo's comes from blending into shakes or blending into Tino's Pizzeria.
I was going to ask that, where that name came from. Okay.
So I had a full business plan. I had ice cream manufacturers. I had a menu designed. I had all this stuff ready, but then I couldn't sublease Tino's restaurant. So it actually came at perfect timing because I figured, why not have Blendo's shakes and smoothies? Because that's really what the name originally was. So I just switched it to Blendo's Health and Longevity Movement and started with basketball leagues. And then I figured I'd run all my basketball leagues, save up enough money, and then do the smoothies again later on. But I've never gotten there. So.
Gotcha. So this is where you wanted the sublease Tino's?
Yep.
But was that when it was on the empty space on Main Street? Or was that when it was?
Nope. When Tino was still there, this would have been probably 2013.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yep. I have a good relationship with Tino. Marino now, too, the new owner.
Yep.
But yeah, Tino would talk to me about different strategies of making money, and he would often vent to me on how he would lose money during the summer months. So I thought, you know, adding an ice cream and healthy derivative pizza option might help. And then,
sure,
you know, I was very entrepreneur style, so I wanted to figure out how I could fit in and do things, but I had several barriers because I grew up a very poor kid.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's hard to run a business too. So going back a little bit, because you played football in school. Did you play basketball in school too, or?
Yep.
Okay, you did. Okay.
Same general thing. I was always one of the better basketball players in my grade. I didn't technically learn how to shoot until I was like 15 or 16 because, you know, once I moved to Oneonta, I had more time to focus on sports and I was around more people that I could actually, you know, play with. Because when I went to Unitego, I lived in Wells Bridge, so there's only like two or three kids and then I had to.
Yeah, there's nothing in Wells Bridge.
Growing up, I'm one of those kids that had to ride their bike 5 miles each way.
Yeah, right. Did when you were in Oneonta at all, did you visit and or go to the club at all? Were you part of the?
So I went to the club. I played in the Mirabito Leagues, but
yeah,
back then it was called the Picket League.
Yep.
Actually, it's very, I'm very thankful for people and resources, because when I lived in Unitego, there was a man, Dan Hennigan, who came to pick me up. He came to pick me up every day. He lived in Oneonta, but he still came out of his way to pick me up and drop me off just so I could participate in the basketball games.
That's awesome.
And I haven't seen him in some time, but every time I saw him, I always made sure to let him know when I was of age. Like, it really helped me out, and I'm really thankful for that opportunity, because after doing that, I got asked to play in AAU, and I got asked to play in different things. I wasn't able to do the AAU because I didn't have the money to join the team.
Yeah.
But it let me know that as long as I kept going, even at a young age, I understood the value of participating in basketball and the things that I can bring alongside it.
100%. And also just having organizations and, once again, you're running a league too, but just like the club was really vital to both of my kids. So I'm a single parent too. For my son, since he was two, and my daughter's mother was sick a lot of the she had cancer. So in her schooling, grade schooling, I was often the only parent there. Mm-hmm. So that club really was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Not only my daughter just liked to go and hang out, she wasn't a sportsy person, but my son, that was what he's a basketball player, and that's really what he went to Riverside. I live over in the lower deck there, so as they say. But he would just walk there after school every day, you know. And Tony and Gary and all the people there, they would just, you know, they really took care of those kids and showed them teamwork and whatever. And that was the big thing, you know. And it really kind of molded who he is to this day. You know, he still plays basketball every day too. It's awesome. So.
Yep. I'm excited. I'm going to try to get him into the basketball league.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. He's we'll talk about this after, but yeah, no, you know, he's all, they had their last game last night.
Yeah, I saw that was a 26-29.
It was like a terrible. I couldn't go to the game because I was working late, and I texted him. I was like, "How'd you do?" And he's like, "Nobody played good." I was like, "Vestal's not, it, like so they were 10-2, I think." It's a good team. Like, all those kids had been playing together since they were, like, six.
Mm-hmm.
So it's super cool watching them grow up. Two of the players actually weren't playing on Modified. They were actually playing on JV, and that's Trey.
Oh, yeah.
Trey and Miller.
Casey Miller.
Yeah. They're, like, super good.
Yeah.
Like, crazy good. So I grew up, you know, my son Record grew up playing with them,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was something really special because, like, just watching those two play. Trey's just huge.
Mm-hmm.
He's always, like, a foot taller than everybody else, you know, and he's just – it's crazy how good he is at basketball, but he's, like, way better at baseball and amazing at football. He played varsity football. He's, like, in eighth grade. It's crazy. And Case and, you know, that family, he's just a great – does his dad play basketball?
His dad did play basketball. He doesn't play so much anymore.
Okay.
I try to get on him as much as I can. He plays in the Oneonta Alumni Tournament.
Oh, okay.
And he played in the basketball league for years. He's in my local Blendos Hall of Fame. He's got multiple championships. He played at SUNY Cobleskill, and he's been one of the
best. Is that where he played?
Yeah.
Okay, so I thought he was somewhat of a basketball wizard to some degree. But Case is really good, man. And the little one, too, his brother.
Kyler,
yeah, they're great. They're just great. It was really fun to watch them, and my son just learned an absolute ton being on a team with them and just seeing the way they, you know, they play. So it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's great to see how time flies. I remember when I worked at the post office, 5 years ago, I'd be walking around and I'd see someone say, "Hey, Cam," and I'd look over and it'd be Kyler walking in the YMCA or summer program, you know,
yeah,
just
right.
a little tiny baby. And then, you know, as I was reffing last night in Walton versus Unadilla Valley, and I told my partner, I said, because sometimes before they do the announcements, starting five, when they come up, we always say, you know, good job, good luck. And I just sometimes recently I've just been seeing these kids and I'm remembering them from Modified. We're doing varsity games now, but I'm remembering what they looked like
sure
4 or 5 years ago. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the kid from Modified. Like, oh, wow, you know, now these kids are bigger than me. So
yeah, right.
It's great to see. You know, time's not waiting for anybody, but.
That's right. Do it now, you know. But so that's crazy. So you're also, we'll get into a bunch of different stuff, but as whenever I'm doing these interviews, it's really interesting because people say stuff so about reffing. So you're doing ref stuff for...
So I'm on the local board here. It's
okay.
Skohannon Board 4. We're our AABLE referees, which is an International Association of Basketball approved officials.
Okay.
So I do soccer and basketball. I originally started as a coach, but as running the programs, I realized that I was spending a lot of money on having people officiate. And in order to offset some of that money, I figured I should officiate. The guys that ref for me mentored me and told me, you know, you probably should do it. You could be a good official. You care about basketball, and it, you get paid to run. So I thought about it, and I was like, yeah, it makes sense.
It keeps you in shape, too, right? Because you're moving all over and watching, you know.
Yep. Fun fact, I've never played soccer, and it's actually my favorite game to sport, or to ref, because I'm actually going by the rule book as opposed to what I would do is if I was playing, would that get called for me? You know, there's certain
biases people it's a different you look at that, too. Like, I wonder when you're watching football, like those refs – most of them look like they've never played a game in their life. You know, they're just kind of like these guys play? Like, no. And I guess you don't necessarily need to. You know, Jim Brady. Do you remember Jim Brady?
Yeah, still goes with me.
Yeah, is he still ref?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. He lives around the corner from me. I live like the same block as him.
Okay.
That's awesome, Jim Brady. I what a crazy. The refs are. I always watch when I'm going to the games. It's really fun for me to watch the refs too because there's always different refs coming on, and some of them are just like crack me up, man. This one dude, he's doing the modified. I don't know his name, but he like just talks to everybody on the sidelines. I'm
oh, that's Neil Riddell,
yeah,
older guy.
I'm like, dude,
he's a local celebrity.
Dude, so he's awesome, but like half the time he's not paying attention.
That's so he's been reffing. Neil Riddell is one of my favorite referees to officiate with. He's
awesome.
Been reffing soccer for over 60 years. He finished his 60th year of doing soccer. I try to tell him every time I see him, I hope to just be able to live that long.
That's right?
So yeah, he knows everybody.
Everybody loves him.
My first year, he pulled me under his wing, and we've got a lot of similar life experiences. And he connected with me early. And one of our first games, we had a game in Delhi, and he goes, oh, I just want to stop over to South Court, right? I want to check out the varsity game. You want to come with me? And I was like, sure. So we're just talking, you know. We get there. We get to South Court, right? I obviously didn't know he was from South Court, right, at the time. But once we get there, he's talking to everybody. The first day I met the whole town of South Court, right?
That's amazing. Yeah, no, everybody loves that dude. Cool. So the ref, how many games a week do you ref, do you think?
So I don't ref Saturdays because I have a little boy and I try to follow him on his travel league.
Yep.
So I ref Monday through Friday. So today I'm going to be refing South Court, right, actually.
Oh, you are? Yep. Okay. Very cool. How old's the boy?
My boy just turned 9. He's in third grade.
Awesome. And he's playing, Marabito League, you said?
He does Marabito League and then he does travel third and fourth and fifth and sixth.
Is that Tony running that?
Yep.
Old Tony.
Yep.
Yeah, my son record did the travel for, I don't know, 3 years or 2 years or whatever it was. That was over there. He loved that. Tony's a great coach and super, super. He's got enough intensity. I love it when he gets. So I'm getting booted out of a game. It was like a third grade game, you know what I mean? He gets booted out. It's awesome. But he gets those kids moving, man. And I love it. Like I said, I love doing those. I love going to those club games. They're awesome. Okay, so let's see. So I want to talk about your basketball leagues, right? And how you started, how you took it over and how you're doing with it and what they entail, where they are, how people get involved, all kinds of stuff. Let's talk about the basketball stuff.
So after that senior year at Cup Brockport, actually, I wasn't even a senior year. I was just in finals week. So I started the league in 2013 in the summer.
Okay.
Oneonta's only had a summer league prior to that. We'd have the occasional summer league. So I ran the summer league. At first, I had a lot of support, but at the same time, some people stacked their teams, so it made the people that weren't the best, they made them not want to play because they had no inkling that they would win. So they felt like they would just be wasting their money or wasting their time.
Yep.
So the first year I only had 9 teams. I had one league. It was a very competitive league. But then the next year I thought, well, I want to be inclusive. And I don't really care about having the best people because oftentimes the best people bring the most drama. So yeah. I stepped aside of that and I said, you know what? I have an A league and I'll also have a B league for like men's rec, average Joe type of thing.
Yep.
And it just blew up. So after I did that, the second year I had 7 A league teams and I had 9 B league teams. And I think I also started the women's league that year because I wanted to make sure that they had an opportunity to be able to participate. So I think I started with 6 women's teams. The women's league only went on for 3 years. The third year, people were playing on the same team, multiple teams, skipping games. So I just had to cut it. But from 2016 to 2017, I found a massive expansion, especially with the B league. So the B league progressively grew. I think by 2019, I had 23 teams in the summertime for B league. So it was usually just a Sunday league, but I had to do a Saturday Sunday crossover.
Were these 5-on-5 or 3-on-3?
This is all 5-on-5 teams.
5-on-5. Okay.
So then in 2016, I had an opportunity to start a spring league. So I started running a spring league, and then we ran the summer league, and then that transitioned to doing a winter league. So up until 2019, I did spring, summer, winter, and then I think 2019 or 2018, I started fall league. So now we have seasonal leagues year-round. All of them are bring your own team. The fall league used to be a draft league, so like people always bring their own team, but then I tried to have an alternate program where you had to have captains and we just picked people out of a list. That was pretty fun for the first couple of years, but then people move away and,
Sure. Wow, that's crazy. So you have 4. So now you're up to 4.
Yep.
So you're doing 4.
So we do spring, summer, winter, fall, and I've got men's A, B, and co-ed leagues. Because I haven't been able to sustain a women's program, but I still try to include them with having co-ed.
Yeah, of course. That's great. And so let's see. Where do these leagues take place? So where are you playing the games?
So we play at the Orneana Armory, which is located at 4 Academy Street.
Yep.
It's free admission to games. I encourage people to come check it out, even if they don't want to play or participate. Sometimes it's very entertaining, and it's just a good environment to be in. You can meet some people.
And what days are these?
We have games on Sundays. Right now, we're currently in our 3-on-3 league. I guess I forgot to mention that.
Okay.
Because it's not a 5-on-5. We have a 3-on-3 league that we run from January to February 15th. So for the next 2 Sundays, we'll be down there from 3 to 7:30.
Yep. And then what happens in March? That's the final.
In March is the kickoff for the Spring League. So the Spring League is touted as one of our best leagues because what I try to do is I try to get a lot of the local college kids involved because, they're only here for a majority of the year.
Yeah.
Most oftentimes I found in the fall and, that wintertime I really can't get that many college kids. I have met some and I did have some in the past fall, but after spring is the league starts right after the college basketball season, so I get a lot of the local college players to play.
That's great.
And that helps me out a lot because a lot of the local kids, like say for instance, your son, if he plays B league, he potentially could play against a college player. I've had different, depending on what league they're in. For instance, I have a SUNY Oneonta player that goes here now, played in the league last year, and he's like, oh, is that Xavier Hill, the star from the team last year?
Yeah.
And then this past summer, he was on his team. So it's like he went to talking to his dad, starstruck, about playing against this, D3 college All-American.
Yeah,
and
no.
Then the next thing, he's playing with him. So it's like,
That's so awesome. Yeah. I think this is just a great outlet. Danny's does some of these tournaments, right? These leagues. I know Danny for a while, so Danny's always like, "Oh, you got to get involved in this and whatever." That's how I heard about it, was through Danny.
Yeah, he's been a tremendous supporter of me. He's weaning his way back in. Unfortunately, he's a baseball player first, but he's very competitive. So when he came into these leagues, he tried his best all times, trying hard all the time. And sometimes it was trying a little bit too hard, and it resulted in some injuries.
Yeah, that's Danny. He always gets – it's so funny. He was on the softball team last year, and he had, 900 up.
Yeah.
Dude's like – he's super funny. He was – I think he played with Lynn, right? Jeremy Lynn. Linsanity. Oh, like, yeah, he went to the same California. High school. When the Linsanity thing, like, he was on that team from California in San Francisco or whatever. He was on his high school team or something. It's like something totally crazy. Okay, so did you ever do stuff up here, too?
I used to have a holiday tournament. I would like to bring that back, but in the recent years, I've had problems with renting the gym. We've had a holiday tournament
at
Chase Gym. For a while, I had the Oneonta Octane, which is a semi-professional ABA basketball team.
Okay.
It was called Oneonta Octane, and we had games at Alumni Gym.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
I got some, you know, people might not know it, but I've had some stars coming through. We had DeJuan Coleman come through.
He's awesome.
For Syracuse University. I think they had someone else. Mookie Jones. I don't think Brandon Trish was on the team at the time, but. You know, I brought some talents to the gym. We've also had some games in Chase, too.
Cool. Yeah. I like Alumni. It's awesome. I try to go catch the basketball games up here when I can. My son and I try to go and watch the team when we're free. Okay, so you're using the Armory, right? And let's talk a little bit about finance, shall we?
Sure.
Finance is always important, right? So, like, you run this thing, right? And you have to, so with the Armory, that's owned by the city?
It's owned by the city, yep.
It is owned by the city, right, still. So, and then you rent it out? Do you have to rent it? Okay, cool. And there's no practices with these. These are just like games, right? So we just show up or
do there's very limited availability for the court's time at the Armory. I have a limited schedule there from December 1st till April 1st, and then I have a little bit more leeway. Once it gets nicer weather, I have, you know, opportunities to do basketball training, and I do kids programs there as well for local daycares. But yeah, so for the most part, I can get it by a per day basis. I've explored trying to get into there long term, but with how my programs are sustained, I don't really like. For my small business, I've never actually taken a salary or anything from my small businesses. I kind of just offset my expenses and go from there.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's really not sustainable otherwise.
No, I'm in a band, you know, like I'm a professor up here, and that's where I make my money. And I'm in a band, plays original music, and we play, I don't know, 50 gigs a year and so forth. But it's like when you're done playing all the gigs, this, once again, small business, it winds up just paying for itself. Like, it's not like you're making like... Mm-hmm. You know, but it's satisfying and awesome. Okay, so how are the courts at the Armory? I wonder about that. I haven't been in there in a while.
So they haven't been repurposed, but somehow, some way, they're actually still pretty good.
Okay.
Occasionally they get wiped and buffered. But right now, like, for instance, I'm sharing it with indoor soccer. So we're in there after indoor soccer is there all day. So some, like, this past Saturday I was in there. Around the playing surface, you can see it's just massive amounts of salt and everything else from people's different shoes, and they take their shoes off and play on the playing surface.
Yeah.
But, you know, all that dust and stuff accumulates, and it's pretty hard to maintain the court. So, I've been exploring trying to use other facilities because in the past we've used Lawrence Central School, but they're not permanent places. It's not like a permanent home for us. We can temporarily go to a school, but we can't be there every week.
Yep.
So as a permanent place to play and to know that, you know, rain, sleet, hail, snow, I can be there, it's phenomenal.
That's great. No, it's like I said, that's awesome. Okay, tell us about if somebody wants to sit here and join the team, right? So somebody's in Oneonta and they say, yeah, I'd like to – they play basketball on the side, you know, and wanted to be involved in this. How do they go about doing this?
So I have a website. It's www.blendos.org. Or you can contact me. I'm Instagram at Blendos. I also have an email, blendosfitness@gmail.com.
Okay, Blendos is BLENDOS.
Yep, .org.
.org, okay.
And all my contact information's on there if they want to contact me firsthand.
Great. So if somebody wants to, here's a couple other just small questions here. If somebody plays, like, suppose they want to play in the B League or whatever, right? In this one coming up in March, right? And how long does that run for?
So each team typically gets 7 games. It's a quick league
because
it's over usually by finals week. So it starts May or March 8th, and then it goes till I think May 5th.
Great.
So there's multiple games per day.
Okay, and for that, what is the
charge for the player or the admission fee for this?
So the team fee is $900, but
okay.
each team typically has 7 to 8 people, so it's $125 per free agent. So if you don't have a team, there's no limitation.
Great.
I've in the past assembled several free agent teams because
that's super reasonable.
Oftentimes people don't like the responsibility of having a team because, you know, we'll have 10 people on a team and the next thing, you know, one or two people don't show and then people get stuck with the bag. So,
yeah.
You know, so a lot of people like to forego the free agent route just so they don't have to.
So the free agent's $125?
Yep.
That's amazing. Incredible. What a great experience. And what age range do you normally have for these?
So majority of the league is, I'd like to say, each season difference because in the springtime, I'm going to have a lot of high school kids who don't play baseball participate. So
yep.
it could be from anywhere from, for the B league, it could be anywhere from like 17 to
yep.
40. Because, you know, on the back end, a lot of the older yeah. guys that don't want to play in the A league anymore are now strictly B league. So
sure.
B league has a lot of 40-year-olds, 17-year-olds, and then the A league is more so like 20 or like
okay.
30 years old.
Yeah, and the A-League is good.
Yep, for the most part. I'm gonna do a strong push this year to get, you know, two teams consisting of SUNY Oyana kids. I've been talking to SUNY Cobleskill people, trying to get them to come out here. I've got some connections with SUNY Broome.
Cool.
To, you know, in the past, we've had kids come from even Wells College, so I know that it's possible.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you play?
Yeah.
Are you on a team?
Yep. I'm the all-time leading scorer.
Look at you!
Only because I've played the most games. So I've played over like 450 games.
What's your jam? What's your shot? You got a shot?
Yeah, I shoot deep. I shoot deep threes.
Are you shooting deep threes? Yeah, what are you, Curry,
it's,
over
it's
here?
Really, yeah. So growing up, I loved basketball, and I was in with the Curry before he was in the NBA. Like, I was a Curry fan at Davidson.
Oh, gotcha.
I'm one of the guys with the Jimmer Fredette jersey. He's a guy from Albany, New
York. Yeah.
So I've always followed three-point shooters. I've always done my best to shoot three-pointers. I grew up a big man, so I was 6 foot when I was 12. I used to shoot with two hands, and then once people started growing to get bigger than me,
yeah.
they blocked my shot. So then I just started shooting threes. I had so much fun shooting threes that progressively, I went down to Neweha Park my first year I moved to Oneonta that summer.
Yeah.
I shot 500 shots every single day. And then progressively from that summer to next summer, I noticed that I was one of the best shooters, not just in the town, but all around. And like, maybe it wouldn't be the absolute best, but I started carrying myself like that because one, I noticed that there was no one else shooting that much as me that at least I knew.
Yeah, and that's a lot of shots in a day.
And it was like a prideful thing for me because sure. even though I couldn't play varsity basketball, every time I was playing and I was playing against people that previously played varsity basketball, I could hang. So I was starting to be like,
Did you play in pickup leagues down in Neweha too? Were you playing like in those? I know the people get down there and play or used to.
So I used to play in the park a lot, but I didn't start playing in the recreational leagues until I was maybe like 20 years old.
Oh, okay. So. Yeah, I just always. Sometimes my son, once again, loves playing basketball, and he's always been on the taller. He's always been in the 100th percentile. So I think he's 5'11", mm-hmm. and when he was 12, you know, he's a little wiry, but you know, he would always go down there and play basketball and stuff like that. But we would watch like the pickup games down there, and they were pretty good. Like watching those kids play, man, streetball's a little different, but it's the same game, mm-hmm. you know. So you're shooting the threes here, and what you got for NBA? Who's your NBA jam? Is it the Warriors?
No. So the way the NBA is, I don't have loyalty to specific teams. Like, I'm a player fan, so
okay.
my favorite player is Jason Tatum.
You're Tatum. Dude.
I like Tatum. I like Cade Cunningham.
Okay. Cunningham's good.
My little boy's name is Max, so we follow Tyrese Maxey. I like Wemby.
Maxey came through. Is coming through this year. So let's talk Cunningham. So you know who I like?
Who?
Take a wild guess. Who does this guy like?
The New York Knicks.
No. Give me one more guess.
LeBron.
No. I'll tell you. 1985, right? I was born in 75. So 1985 was when I started watching basketball. And I looked through all the jerseys, right? And I'm like, which one's the coolest jersey at this point, right? And I chose the Rainbow City of the Denver Nuggets, right?
Okay.
And Alex English shooting these crazy high, you know, mid-range shots. So I always ask this trivia question to a lot of people, basketball people, and they never get the answer right. The leading scorer from 1980 to 1990 in the NBA was Alex English. He was the leading scorer in the NBA. Mm-hmm. The guy, dude, scored 25 points every game by, you know, he had a super high release on there, so nobody ever blocked his shots. But I love the Nuggets, and then Dikembe came in, and then that was a pretty fun team to watch. And then Melo was there for a little bit.
Yeah, I think you had Antonio McDice.
Yeah, we had all kinds of crazy AI. Yep. I was on there for a little bit. And then the Joker came onto the scene, and
I'm a big fan of him, too. I try to have my boy play like him because, you know, everyone's so focused on scoring points, but I went to see him live. So I saw Joker versus – I've been traveling back and forth between NBA games the past couple of years, and I try to go to TD Garden in Boston, or I try to go to Philadelphia. I won't go to the Knicks Stadium because it just costs way too much. Way better seats and experience, I'd imagine, in either Brooklyn,
New
York, or even Washington, D.C.
Sure.
So we went to a game, and I looked up, and I was like, wait. He didn't seem like he was doing that much, but I looked up at the Jumbotron, and he had a triple-double by halftime. I just couldn't even believe it.
The dude's a ridiculous player. I watched the game last because they played Detroit last. So they had to play OKC two nights ago. Mm-hmm. And they just couldn't. They were down by 15. They just couldn't come back. You know, Joker was also out for a month. And then they played Detroit last night and lost by three in Detroit. So I was pretty happy because Denver had four of their five starters out for 3 weeks. They finally got Braun came back. Gordon's out. Murray played last night. Joker played last night. Joker's not up. He's not 100% because he did something to his something on his leg or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
like
he got hyperextended.
Yeah, leg. But he's not 100%. But he's still. I know he grabbed like 15 boards and had like 25 points last night or something. But I was pretty. Detroit's good.
Yeah,
like Detroit is super fun to watch. It's Cunningham's team, but I they're a good team,
they're tough.
And that's scary. Like, I watch the Lakers or something, and I'm like, Luka's amazing, and LeBron's still really awesome, but they're not a team. They're like that with maybe Reeves or Hachimura or somebody coming in and throwing in 15 points. Mm-hmm. It's hard to sustain that, but Detroit is scary.
Yeah, they have a local guy, too, from Rochester. I'm not sure if people know.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Isaiah Stewart's from
Rochester. Oh, no way. Yep. So I'm and OKC looks vulnerable. Like this year, like they are like, you know, they started great, but then they haven't been since in the past 20 games or so. They're only like 12-8 or something like that. So they're kind of, I think people are figuring out, you let SGA score 40 points. Yeah. He's going to score that. Like you just let him do it and then guard the other guys, you know, Dart and all those, you know, Dort on all those guys.
As playoffs come around, I really hope that OKC and the Spurs get matched up because
great series.
There's an underlying, ever since Victor Wembanyama played for France, he's been having competition with Chet Holmgren. So
they took them out like two or three games in a row, too.
They take it serious. So I'm very excited to see what happens in playoffs. I haven't really been watching during the regular season.
Gotcha.
With everything else, but
sure.
I try to catch it when I can.
I want Detroit Spurs. That would be an amazing final.
That would be pretty crazy.
It's something fun to watch. I mean, not for whatever. I'm not really into dynasties. I always root for the underdog. So I'm always looking at whatever. But I like Detroit. I mean, I'm a Knicks fan too. I do like the Knicks. Mm-hmm. They're always though like. They have a really great team, but they're also one of those things like the Bills to me where it's like, it's like, man, you're just going to, all right, you're going to blow it like two games into the playoffs and then all of a sudden it's going to go down. Like they'll always be in there, but we'll see what happens. Yeah. But
as soon as they have a couple more games, people are going to be screaming Knicks tape and all that other stuff. And they're going to tell you about how they're going to win the championship this year. And then
they can't take Detroit down. I don't think the East is, I don't see And only because Boston's not fully healthy, I do not see anybody taking Detroit down in the East. I just don't see it. The West, I think, is more up for grabs and always has been. The West is like the top part of the West has always been pretty insane, the top four or five teams. Mm-hmm. Even the Lakers, whatever, they can make a run. If LeBron and him get and Luka figure out some way to get there, they can take down any of those teams. So it's
going to be very interesting. Did you see the trades that happened yesterday?
I saw Harden is off the Clippers, and he's on
the Cavs.
The Cavs, that's right.
Yep. And they're trying to say that the starting five for next year LeBron's going to return to Cleveland. So they're trying to hype it up.
It's like the geriatric league.
But
Harden's still good though.
Harden's still pretty good, and I think that I don't know. I mean, I like Darius Garland, but I think that that's going to be interesting to see how that moves forward. And then the Celtics traded away Anthony Simons for Nikola Vucevic.
Okay, I didn't see that.
So now they've got another big man, and they're trying to signal that Tatum might come back, but I really don't even care if he comes back this year because I'm scared of what happened to Tyrese Halliburton last year in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think, here's the thing is I'm always looking at whatever. They did that, the Nuggets did that with Gordon. They put him back in after a month because they needed him, and then he got hurt again. Yeah. It's like, let it go. Tatum should sit he should sit the year out. Mm-hmm. Like, let him fully heal, I don't see the – yeah. Anyways. Okay, who you got? Here's the last thing. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Couple things before we restate how we can get into the league and so forth. Super Bowl. Who's winning the Super Bowl? Who do you want to win the Super Bowl, and who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
I think the Seattle Seahawks are going to win the Super Bowl, but yes. I want the Patriots are going to win. Because when I was in college, the last time this happened, I played defense in football. So our defense was pretty good.
Yeah.
And the whole house, we probably had like 15 people in our house watching the football game. Everyone took the Seahawks. But I was betting. I was a betting man. I was bet $50 on the Patriots because in the past, I bet on the Patriots when they went on their 18-0 season. I won money all that whole year until the championship game, and lost to the Giants.
And then they lost.
Yeah, I lost some money on that too. But, in the back of my mind, it's like you don't bet against Tom Brady.
Falcons one?
Yep, I bet on that one too. Same situation. I'm quiet. People are talking crap to me the whole game. Talking crap. How dare you? This is what happens.
I can't believe you were in that house, man.
And then interception on the line. They got even madder. They couldn't believe it. Stuff was starting to get broke. Like, obviously, it's college kids. Like, they couldn't believe it. And I love that. So then the next time, the same thing happened. I went to my friend's house in Albany. A bunch of local guys were watching the game. People they weren't even Falcons fans. They just had their own teams, and they just hated Tom Brady. So here I am. I am Tom Brady. Quiet as hell.
That's right. Instead of running the ball, he threw it.
Yep.
So stupid. I was watching that, and I was like, who called that play? Yep. Hey, the worst play ever. You got Russell who can run the ball. What are you doing?
Or Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah,
Marshawn Lynch could easily.
Lynch was on that team. Yeah. Oh, my God. That was the worst mistake.
Yeah, they used to have the memes, just run it.
So yeah, remember that? That was like the worst call in Super Bowl history.
It's really funny because it's like, the memes are now going around like, the Seattle Seahawks have the opportunity to do the unthinkable. And
that's right.
Throw it on the 1 yard line again. So,
yeah, because I was not a Patriots fan back then, because I'm a Steelers fan. Mm-hmm. But my secondary team is always Buffalo. There's always a spot in my heart for Buffalo. Mm-hmm. I grew up with the Norwood kick and like all that stuff. Like I was when they went four times in a row, I watched all those and watched them lose. And it was so sad. So I always have a spot in my heart for there. My sister lives in Buffalo. I love Buffalo as a city. I always call it the Lows of Buff. And hopefully one day they'll win a championship with something,
Yeah, they really thought they were going to this year.
I know. So that was why I was always kind of against the Patriots. Because it was always Bill's Patriots. And what I mean? And then, interesting. So, yeah, I think Seattle's going to win. And I want Seattle. I think, I'm scared of the Patriots for the future because they look really good again.
Mm-hmm. And Vrabel, he got the Super Bowl as a player and potentially could now as a coach. So I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is. I think either way, it'll probably be a pretty good game. I like the young quarterbacks. I like this. You know, it's funny, Seattle to me, I didn't pay attention to them all year. Mm-hmm. They were just one of those teams I was like, whatever. It's the Seattle Seahawks, like, you know. And then you get kind of towards the end of the season, you're like, the team's freaking good, man. Like, what is going on over there? You pay attention. I don't know. Like, for me, I was paying attention to the bigger things. Like, oh, the Ravens are really blowing it this year. Or, you know, how bad are the Giants going to be? Or the Bills going to make this? Or whatever. You know, these other bigger kind of things that happen. You forget about teams like the Seahawks or something like that.
So. I was following the schedule probably until mid-November, and I stopped watching it for a couple of weeks, and I came back in, like, middle December, and the landscape completely changed. When I watched last time, the Colts were really good.
Yeah, and right. You had Kansas City. Like, they all sucked.
And then I came back, and all of a sudden, now the Broncos are 13-3. And it's like, I never, you know.
They were fun to watch, too. Defensively, a pretty amazing team, you know. Elway's still involved. I think he's still involved with that team, Elway.
Yeah, he's still owner or GM something.
I think he played baseball here.
Yeah, he did.
Right?
Yep,
right?
Yep. I know some local guys that have, like, Oneonta Yankees Elway cards.
That's crazy.
Yep.
John Elway. Very cool. Well, we want to thank Cam Hayes for coming on today. What's in your pocket? Once again, everybody out there in Radio Land, tomorrow I have Greg Klein on, who is a videographer, movie maker, and stuff like that. Believes with the Otsego Media. He also, I believe, writes the sports write ups now for the Daily Star. So I'm intrigued to get him on here. There's a film fest coming up in March, so he's going to be on here talking about it. And hey, if you're out there and you play basketball and you're looking for something fun to do on the weekends, you should hook up on Blendos. Now, the other thing is, too, a lot of people also might know it from the 3-on-3 tournament in the summer,
yep,
right, which is also amazing as well. It's super fun to watch and kind of go down to Main Street and watch everybody play. But Blendos,
yep,
Blendos, and can you say the email one more time?
BlendosFitness@gmail.com. And this year we're going to have our fifth annual Blenderama tournament. The Blenderama is separate from Blendos; it's technically a different business.
Okay,
but that's going to be on August 1st and 2nd on Main Street in Oneonta this year.
Great. No way. That's awesome. That's my son. The second is my son's birthday. Sweet. Well, we look forward to it. Thanks, Cam, for coming on in this great conversation. It's always good when I don't have to play music. Sometimes I get guests on and they don't, they're not as talkative. I have to kind of pull strings. But time goes by really fast on here, too. And I'm going to leave everybody with a Janet Jackson tune because Janet Jackson's awesome. What have you done for me lately? Join Blendos, play some basketball, come check everything out, be supportive of everybody around. This is DJ Nuss from Mark II signing out. WONY 90.9 FM, home of Red Dragon Radio, basement of Hunt Union, and keeping it locked of all times, yo.